So who's doing
the
intro?
Let's do the intro together.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Intro together today, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so how do you do an intro together?
I'm not sure. It's just back and forth. So it's just like, welcome to...
TBH Podcast.
With myself. You should be Ebony.
No, but why is... Why? I was about to say, I'm not Ebony.
I was like, we didn't do that right. It was the wrong flow, but we tried, all right.
We did well. Welcome back, guys. My gosh, I've missed recording so much.
In the studio vibes.
Yeah, no, Zoom ain't the one, I can't lie to you.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that from me, but Zoom ain't the one still. It ain't the one. What are we saying, though?
Yeah, I'm cool, man. How are you?
All right, you know. I'm doing my thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting in there, you know.
I was gonna say how's lockdown for you, but I think we already discovered that lockdown was shit.
Get that. That's in the past. It's fully September. We made it.
We actually made it.
Congrats to us.
Well done.
Everybody else.
We're alive and well.
Boy.
Because some people didn't make it, man.
Yeah, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman.
Rest in peace.
That was flipping.
Fam, I woke up at like 6 a.m,
yeah,
saw the news, and I thought, this can't be real.
Yeah, like my friend hit me like, have you seen this? I was like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, this particular friend of mine, the way he like lets me know about people dying is crazy. He's just like, yeah, he's dead. I was like,
what? Huh?
Yeah. Like, and then he sent me like the tweet and all of this, and I've like checked
fam.
And I just paused. I was like, whoa.
It was actually very painful to actually hear someone like that had passed away.
Yeah, no. Reading the letter from the family or the announcement that they
That was crazy. I think when you were reading, like, obviously, you know, when you were hearing how he kind of battled with it and didn't tell anyone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, everyone was saying, wow, he was getting on with his job and stuff like that, not saying anything. It's quite remarkable that he was like, everyone's saying, no one knows the reason why he did it.
Yeah.
Everyone's conjecturing, but I think it's a little bit obvious to tell that I don't think he wanted special treatment just because of what he was going through.
Yeah.
He just seemed that kind of person.
Special treatment and probably didn't want the potential pity that might have come with
that. Yeah.
You know how people are. How we can be when you know that there's like, if someone is unwell or going through something, people become quite like, of course they're trying to show empathy, they're trying to be sympathetic towards that person, but for that person who's just maybe they just want to go through, he's an actor, he's trying to like get his roles. I know I saw a little bit of a discussion about whether or not he would have got particular roles had his diagnosis been public.
Is that true though?
I don't know. I have no idea, you know.
There's no real way of telling that, is there?
There's no way, yeah. I wouldn't know, especially maybe I have a friend who does like acting and stuff. Maybe I should like chat to them. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not sure if that plays a part.
It's sad to hear, though. It's really sad to hear.
Yeah.
What I found surprising about the whole situation, I find it quite shocking, but maybe it's because it's the way I've grown up, I don't know. But people were like, so he had passed away, and literally, a day, 2 days later, even on the same day that he had passed away, there was articles going up about who's going to replace him in Black Panther. And I just thought, that is so horrible.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of see it a little bit when, we kind of see a similar thing though when artists pass away, and now their legacy gets brought up.
Yeah.
That conversation kind of then does come up. So I think it's just maybe... I mean, talking about Black Panther, I did see a headline about that a couple of days ago. Though. They were like, Marvel doesn't know how to continue and stuff like that.
Oh, understandably so.
Of course. But is it relevant?
It's not,
relevant.
But that's like, what I'm saying.
It's just not
like,
relevant.
Like, bro,
it's
the man just passed away.
At the same time, not everyone has the same attachment. So for some people, maybe for some like Marvel fans, potentially, they're just thinking of, shit, where are we at? Phase 4.
Phase 4, yeah.
Yeah, like, shit. Phase 4.
Yeah, but who gives a fuck at this point?
I know, but like that's kind of what some people, that's how some people may feel.
Yeah, okay.
And they may not have ever watched another Chadwick Boseman film.
Because
of course, you know, you've got like, you've got the Star Wars people.
Yeah.
We are the Marvel people. But
yeah.
You've got the Marvel people. And they only watch those films and not necessarily like particularly attached to
the person who's acting.
Yeah, like, they've never seen a Chadwick Boseman thing, and they're really just concerned about, yo, how's Phase 4 going to go? Oh, they costed so-and-so. Oh, have you seen the new Batman? This, like, they don't care. And then, of course, there's the other side of it.
But then I find, even, and that is true when you put it like that, I just find the disattachment with kind of death and fandom a little bit like, it's a little bit like it's bewildering not, for me.
But we are definitely, but I think in general, we are, of course, desensitized.
We're definitely more desensitized now than we were 10, 15 years ago.
Well, I grew up on WorldStar. You know the type of shit I saw on WorldStar?
Yeah. It's true.
What?
It's true.
Listen.
It's true. It's
can't shock me on the internet, you know? Not now.
Can't shock me
on the internet. Not me.
But I guess that's why, even though death is shocking, and of course, I think his death was shocking because it was so unexpected. What if you go aside from that, if you look at how, you know, sorry to get political, but if you look at how you see all of these, like, police killing black men and women, you become so desensitized to it that people share it so, like, we've almost, and I know they're sharing it for a cause.
It becomes content.
But this isn't, but that's what I didn't, like, even expect, you know, to get in this conversation. Like Brienne, you see what I'm saying? Right? It becomes content.
It becomes.
But that's not its purpose. Like, there's these accounts on Twitter which I absolutely despise for the life of me. I think I've muted most of them.
Yeah.
Where every time something like that happens, or even something along those lines happen, they're the first one. And then it's even the way that they talk about it, or the way that they caption it. It's content to them. It's not necessary. Yeah, and I'm not going to blame them to say that they don't care.
It's framing.
But it's exactly.
But how do you get a? I guess a question would probably be, like, you know, is there a way to? Everything is content. We are we live it, but like, we're all kind of like where we're at right now. We're voyeuristic in our nature.
Yeah,
we're looking at everyone, looking at everything. We're commenting everything. Yeah. Like, kind of like fundamentally, like, add comment here is fundamentally what everyone is doing.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah.
If you're on the internet, like, proper, like, that is basically add comment here. Doesn't even matter what it is. Like,
and
I think I saw, like, a meme the other day. It was like, Twitter is apples, I like apples, and like, or something like, I like apples and don't like
what about
oranges. And someone's like, oh, fuck, like, you hate all oranges. Bruv, add comment. Like, it's just like everything is just like, add comment, like, to anything, like, sort of thing. So,
someone said it the other day where it's, I got in a bit of a debate about it because I made a comment about something and then someone commented on my comment. I remember replying, I think it might have just been haste. I just remember replying, you don't have to reply to everything. And
no,
I remember saying it, but I was being dead serious.
Is,
I was like, you don't have to reply to everything.
It's true, but that is where you're wrong, because you do.
But it's this sense of entitlement that comes with, like, to be honest, it comes with this social media kind of culture that we're in at the moment, where it's exactly what you said. It's to comment, even
everything,
if you don't have knowledge on it.
Listen, you put your phone hit, like, just a random picture of, like, anything. Someone's going to be like, oh, you know, where did you get that from? Oh, I like the colour. Oh, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I hate these things.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Kind of like the base of where we're at right now, like, the base principle of what we, like, I would say most people, is add comment here.
Yes, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right.
Add comment here, that's it. Like, so with the Black Panther thing, maybe because they couldn't connect on the kind of deeper level as, like, a man that's, of course, passed away from this, like, terrible disease.
Yeah.
And they can't connect to him, I don't want to say on a human level, but, like, they couldn't connect to it in a sentimental level.
Yeah.
The only thing that they could offer was, shit, Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because I just got to say something.
Yeah, you're right.
And my concern here is, well, how the hell is my Phase 4 going to go?
Yeah, it's true.
And
it's true,
just like...
It's true.
You know, right or wrong, I
feel like, in because of how desensitized we are as a culture and even as a generation, we need to kind of stand up and say, yo, this is wrong. Because I feel like the problem is even, like, the whole... Dating back to it, the whole like troll culture, for example. You know, if you look at what was happening with Chadwick Boseman when he released the picture in April... where he was so skinny and so slim, everyone's saying he's a crackhead, all these, like, and it was so horrific. Now, no one knew, obviously, what was going on. It didn't even matter, to be honest with you. It's still bad.
I mean, listen, like, jokes are going to run on the internet. That's kind of how
it goes.
This is what we've kind of
learned. This is exactly what my problem is that it gets to a point where we're now just saying this is how it goes, and then that's it.
I know.
We're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And then, so then everyone's now, oh, you see what happens? You need to be kind. You don't, you shouldn't have had to know the story to be kind. Like, why are you?
I wasn't really feeling
my point was, after this all happened, was why are you a cunt? That was basically what my point was. Why are you an obnoxious prick?
Because
why?
Why weren't you just being kind anyway?
Because,
to be fair, as actors, we've seen, like, you remember when 50 Cent lost all that weight?
Yeah.
But we've seen them, like, do the yo-yo weight thing.
Yeah.
Where they lose weight. Even Jamie Foxx right now is getting in shape to do the Tyson film. Like, we see actors doing this all the time. So, like, really, that probably should have been the thought. Like, he's probably just, I mean, I would have just thought, yeah, you're getting ready for a role or something like that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, of course, being sick.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But on the internet, like you said, I know we should, but it seems like it's almost too late.
It feels like it's almost too late. Which is very sad, you know.
Yeah, it feels like,
because that means that it just becomes embedded in the culture. It does. That means it's almost, it's exactly what you said. You wanted to change, but it's actually not going to.
Yeah, it's part. It is part of. It's a vicious cycle. Anyone can get it. Shout out to Adele.
Yeah.
I was like, what a deal.
It's funny, I actually held some blocks a few blocks of my opinions on it, which is actually quite funny. Because I said she didn't do anything wrong. That's what I said.
Adele's from ends, man. Come on.
But like, everyone said that she was culturally appropriating culture. I said, I don't get what.
I don't even want to get into that conversation.
Listen, sorry.
All I'm saying here is that anyone can get it, innit? Like, Adele got it.
It was funny.
This is why it was funny. You know what's so jokes? Yeah, like, when it happened, like, I was, like, talking to my friend and I was saying to him, I was just like, all right, it's funny. He's like, oh, I have, like, woke Twitter woke up yet. I was like, no. For now, it's funny. In about 20 minutes.
100%. 100%. And you knew it in it. Like, clockwork.
I was like, in about 20 minutes, though, it's not going to be funny anymore.
Do you know what?
Let me tell you
how it was clockwork, yeah? When I saw the picture, I was running jokes. I said, this is fucking hilarious, yeah? You've got a white girl from Tottenham wearing Bantu knots and a Jamaican bra. I said, this is comedy. I'm not going to lie to you. This is funny.
And she looked kind of uncomfortable in the picture.
Of course she did.
Like, you know, like, she really want to take the picture, but.
Yes, you know that.
All right.
It was like, it started out as, this is funny. I remember this was the night before.
Yeah.
The following morning, I was awoken to thread after thread after thread.
Yeah, the morning after, the morning after, I don't care too much. But in the time, like, when the joke is funny and then everyone who kind of knows the essence of how this thing goes
is
laughing, running jokes, just funny. Yeah. And then about 25 minutes later, we get the, I don't even see what's really funny, you know. Like, you guys are very selective with...
Someone accused me of saying it's just because she's your fave. I said, I don't even fuck with Adele like that. I said, we're not next door neighbours, you know. I said, I don't have her on speed dial, G.
Oh, she's your fave. That's why. Yeah. So when you're there, defending your flipping, like, your YouTubers, your fucking Dawsons and guys. Oh man, they didn't mean it. They were just young. They were la la la. You want to tell people it's because you know their heart. You're exactly. Like, I know their heart.
Exactly.
Like, they didn't really mean all those comments.
And also, the biggest issue that I had with why I was debating with people, because it actually got to a point. Yeah, I remember saying it because people kept quoting in my tweet saying whatever, and I actually said to them, I'm not debating with you. Like, I'm actually not arguing with you.
Yeah.
I said, one, I don't care.
Yeah.
Number two, I said, you don't even understand what the words cultural appropriation means. I'm not. If you don't understand what the word means, I'm not going to get into an argument with you. I don't have time for that.
That word's definitely been overused, and the meaning
heavily.
The meaning's been lost. That's the thing. That's the thing that I noticed about Twitter, because now it's been like, what, Twitter's been around for like 10 years, and Twitter has its own. Of course, all the social media networks are obviously their own pocket universes.
Yeah.
Twitter being like my favorite one, but Twitter has it at this point. Twitter has, like, I think I saw a tweet that said this. Twitter has, like, its own language. And the words that you think mean certain things, they don't mean them. Like, so you think cultural, like, you might really know that, you might know, of course, the definition of course, cultural appropriation, actually know what that means in the real world.
Yeah.
Rather on Twitter, don't mean that.
Thank you.
It doesn't mean that on Twitter. Like, Twitter has its own, like, what would be the word? Like, law. Like, it has, like,
It has its own
mythology and shit. Like, you know.
But this is why I always say, like, don't run with the mentality of the herd or the sheep. Like, don't do that. Like, that's why, at the end of the day, one of the things I always say to people is that build your own opinions. Don't just say shit because the majority is saying it. And in all reality, do you know what? You've got to be fair sometimes, because sometimes people know more than you in terms of knowledge. That's cool. That happens in life. That's just normal.
That's normal.
But at the same time, don't just build and base your opinions off of the consensus of social media.
Yeah, that's why.
Because you end up, you become so...
Fried, man. Your brain is actually just gonna turn to water.
It doesn't make sense, man. And then this is the thing. You'll be outraged about something and you don't even know why you're outraged. Even a person was just like, what are you angry about? Are you angry because she's wearing a Jamaican bra? Are you angry because of the Bantu knots? The Bantu knots isn't even Jamaican. Like, what is it that you're vexed about?
I remember, I don't know if you know who Lil Duval is.
Yeah.
And back in the day when he used to be on Twitter proper, he used to just tweet every day, like, what are you guys fake caring about today? Like, every day. What are you guys fake caring about today? And it's true. What are you fake caring? Like, sometimes, literally, like, I don't engage on Twitter as much as I used to, like, when I first had it and stuff. And, like, you know, we'll move off of the, like, conversation in a bit. But really and truly, I go on Twitter, some, like, and I'll be looking at the things that people are talking about, thinking, wow, like, this is just, like, literally, you guys are fake caring about stuff today. Just for the, you know, obviously just for the case of, for the sake of tweeting, right? It's like, Winter Wonderland got cancelled, and now people have lost the topic to talk about. Can't talk about what you can't. It's done now. Can't have that conversation.
It's actually true.
Can't have that conversation anymore. It's done now. It's finished.
And then the thing is, the funny thing is that the whole conversation was deadened after that. Like, no, you couldn't talk. That conversation last year would go on for days. For days.
It's crazy. The changes on that platform have been nuts.
They've actually been crazy.
But, you know, just social media, being desensitized, but words just like, you know, things not meaning what you think they mean, man. When it comes to that.
They don't, man. And that's why I stopped. It's actually so true. Like, before I used to want to argue. Now, I just, with certain people, I actually express it, I just say to them, I'm not doing it.
I only engage with people who, like, I feel... to know, have some sort of like sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like randoms just atting you for like no reason.
But no, why? But what?
For no reason.
Why is Dave from Ireland debating with me about why Black Lives Matter? Fuck off!
Projecting bare shit. Like,
fuck off! Nothing,
just putting their own things in what you said. Never said this. And then, of course, comprehension is like a lost art.
Yes, it's just a little bit annoying.
That's kind of just why I'm not on it like that anymore.
Yeah, no, fair point, man. That's why I'm just on there to tweet jokes and just tweet really inappropriate stuff, because that's all I'm gonna do on that platform.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. I'm on to laugh now. That's it. Just find the jokes and just laugh. Share tweet with me. That's the love language. Right? I can't be dealing with the timeline, honestly.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Huh?
I said, I'm glad I got that off my chest. I needed that release. Do you know what I mean?
Just to say that, you know. But, congratulations to Nines, though.
Number one album. Big. I have to be honest, I haven't listened to the project.
I've listened to a few tunes. Did you see the mini film that you did, Crabs on the Bucket?
Yes. I will say this, though. Visually and in terms of campaigns for his project, I don't know a better UK artist than Nines.
Yeah, I feel like every time he comes out,
It's better. It's cinematic.
Like, you know, just so much. Like, you can just tell, of course, this is a lot of thought's gone into it from the start. Whenever the like initial idea for, okay, cool, we're in album mode, and this is what I want to make. And what I want to say. And then how you want to present it every single time.
I think what I love about him is that, you know, sometimes, artists will have really good projects, but the campaign behind it sometimes isn't as strong. And it's not because the project is weak. It's just because your idea of how you want to kind of advertise it to everyone else or even like explain the story, sometimes you don't get it 100% correct. What I love about Nines that he does every, like, even going back to how he did the whole crop circle thing.
Yeah, oh man, come on.
It's so simple. Yeah. It's not even like, it's so simple, but so unique. And literally, even if you've never listened to his music or understood his project, you'll see that visual and you'll think, I like that.
You want
to
check that out.
I want to know more about that. Do you know what I mean?
No, his presentation is top tier. He's not oversaturated.
Nope, not at all.
He's just his own thing, and I just love it. Like, I think it's dope.
Yeah, it's dope. No, congrats. It's a big thing as well to get a number one album.
There's only a handful, right?
Yeah, no, it's true, actually.
A handful.
Dave, J-Hus, and Stormzy, I think.
J-Hus got the... Did he get a number one? What, with Big Conspiracy? Maybe. I'm not sure.
I know he has with...
Common Sense.
Common Sense.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just a handful. Literally just a handful. So, like, yeah, big up him.
That's dope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of rappers, going over to the stateside. Yeah. Big Sean. Bro.
Boy.
Bro. How far did you get?
I got quite far. I listened to it. I switched the cipher off, bro. After Cash Doll, I was like, man, fuck out of that. But I listened to, I listened to basically most of it. I've listened to most of it. But you know, like, I was thinking the cypher was going to be hard.
I thought it was going to be heavy.
I thought the cypher was going to be hard. And I know how a cypher should go. And I'm listening to it. And to be fair, saying I switched off after Cash Doll was quite early, because she's quite early in the thing. Yeah. I was just listening to it. I was thinking, you know what? I already wanted to tap out probably like 4 songs previous.
Yep.
I just thought, nah, come on, like, let's keep it going. Let's get to the Stevie Wonder story, which I'll give Big Sean. Makes it look good.
Yeah.
Makes it look great. Little previews.
The aesthetics, everything around it. Wavy.
Pretty.
Wavy.
Pretty.
Wavy.
Makes it look great. But he just lacks a little bit of, I don't know, I was having a conversation again with one of my friends this morning. Just lacks a little bit of like his, it's like he could be so much better, right? But he lacks a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
And he kind of gives you glimpses of, oh, you know, I've got a little bit more to me, but it's very surface level. To me, at this point, he's just basically fabulous. Like, you know, you rap well, and this is a good album.
He's not even close to fabulous, I can't lie to you. He's not even close.
All right, we can talk about that.
No, hold on, can't use Fabulous as an example.
I can, because I just feel like Big Sean, he raps well, he has songs.
He doesn't even rap as well as Fabulous. What's that?
No, but
he doesn't even release projects as good as Fabulous. Stop that.
Stop it.
Oh, hey, piss off, man.
Stop it.
He doesn't really, no, you're taking a piss.
Stop it.
You're taking a piss. I'm actually going to rush you off this episode. You're taking a piss. Hey, you're taking a piss.
So,
excuse me.
Soul tape.
Hold on. All right. That was a bad example. Wait. Hold on. All right, let's look at this subjectively.
I really wanted to just talk about Detroit.
I know, but you mentioned Fabulous, and now I'm annoyed.
No,
I'm angry. Because, all right, fine. We're not going to talk about that last take, because that was ridiculous. But Big Sean, Fabulous has better projects than Big Sean, and in terms of numbers. Even if you're looking at it from an old school perspective. Also, from a feature perspective, he's better than Big Sean. Big Sean's last...
I can't remember the last Big Sean feature.
The last Big Sean feature that was decent, that was okay-ish... Yeah. Actually, not even that one was bad. The one on Gene Aiko's project, that was terrible. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, I said that mainly because Fabulous raps well. Big Sean raps well. Are you going to say he doesn't rap well? One thing I don't like about Big Sean, though, at least on this album, I was hearing it a lot more, is that he does what I feel like I do sometimes when I'm like writing things for people. Right? And like he adds like the extra, you know, like you're editing the sentence. Well, I'm editing the sentence, and you're like adding the extra A.
Like,
take the A out, because the sentence was fine. And it's like you've got one more word than you needed. So now the line sounds a bit awkward. And I heard him do it at times. He would rush the baby girl into the song, and then he'll say, and
it's too many words. Yeah. Like, the only way I could describe it is Big Sean raps like he's forgotten the words to his own story, so he's filling in the gaps. That's the way that I've explained it.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's like, especially the first song.
Me, like, he's just like, you're just adding like a...
It's too much.
Just adding too many words.
It's too many words. It's like, bro, back out.
Like, it was fine, and then you just added like an extra... Like, you rushed... And it's not even
needed.
Like you added it in, like, and it made it... And you made it flow. Like, it sounds like you rushed into.
This is my issue with Big Sean. My issue with Big Sean is because I genuinely think, especially when I... Because I even listened to, Dark Fantasy the other day. And I was like, Dark Paradise. Such a fucking good project. The reason why is because he gets his flow right the whole way through.
Yeah, this one, every was a single bit, one.
It's when...
At times it was a little bit choppy.
It was too choppy.
I know he was trying to do... I know, I guess, on some level, I guess he was trying to... do the conversational style.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He was,
And the conversational style raps, not necessarily. You know, like Jay-Z can do the conversational style.
Yeah,
rap
kind of
almost just talk to you in his normal tone,
but it's still been his rap. He perfected that on 444.
Right, and he's in perfected his and it. He's in his flow. Like,
yes,
but Big Sean is still trying to like rap at you. He's rapping at you,
but telling a story, but talking. But it doesn't. And he's not balancing it.
Yeah, and I wasn't like at times. I was just kind of catching. I was like, "Oh, that was an extra word."
Yeah, he had a few questionable lines.
I mean, for a rap album, it's okay. And maybe at some point we should talk about it being okay to have an okay rap album, like just a good album. The album doesn't have to be living in kind of extremes, right? We're always like, oh, it's got to be like absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's just
fucking trash.
Like, but you know why that is though? It goes back to what I was saying. Like even we never spoke about it, but Brandy's album, for example, and I use that as a beautiful album.
Did you watch it? My heart is full.
Yeah, I know it was perfect. Man. It was such a great night. It definitely wasn't as good as the last ones though, but it was good.
I think that was a top three. What was your
top three?
I think that's a top three one. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're talking about Rick Ross and 2 Chainz.
Oh no, that was terrible, awful.
So which ones are you talking about? Beanie Man and Bounty Killer was the best one to me.
Then Jill Scott versus
Erykah
Badu. Yeah, of course.
And then Brandy and Monica to me.
Technically speaking, me personally, and probably because of what it meant to me, I'm going to go for Kurt Franklin versus Frank.
Oh, that's not my bag.
Yeah, but that's because those are my bags. That's how I grew up.
Yeah, that's not my bag. I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, touche. So, fair enough. Yeah. But that like those were the top ones for me.
When I say I don't know any, how can you not know? I don't listen to gospel.
In terms
music,
of comedy, though, the best song was the Babyface one.
Nah, the Dream and Sean Garrett was absolutely hilarious.
You don't think the Babyface one was funny when he had to come back again?
Was that Teddy Riley?
Yes!
Oh, yeah!
The Teddy Riley was jokes!
No, but Sean Garrett and the Dream was funny because Sean Garrett was so, like, he was so drunk or high and he was just doing the absolute most.
He was
like,
doing the most.
Oh, my God. And, you know, like, Dream was kind of, it was tense. It was kind of like, it was off the IG Live. It was very, so that one was, like, really funny, but Brandy and Monica's is an easy top three for me.
Oh, I don't know.
For me because there's really not been that many great ones. Like,
no, you're right.
You know, and
but then it's like you said, it's more of a which one was your bag kind of thing.
Yeah, it's true. And then Versus has kind of just been kind of, I feel like, you know, you're doing like, no disrespect to Ross or Chainz, I like them guys, but bro, like, what?
Yeah. It didn't. The worst one was the 112 versus Jagged Edge.
No, I never even saw that. I think someone said Donnell Jones should do one, like Joe. I think they're trying to do a three-way one. Tank, Genuine, or Tyrese, who you got?
I'm probably going to go for Genuine, you know. But Tank is the more complete artist, though.
Okay, Genuine's getting him in five.
Yeah.
Getting him out of there in five.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see what you mean. I get why, because Genuine has classics.
As a, it's playable tunes.
It'll be Genuine. I agree.
With Tank, I just love, like, every time I think about Tank, I just think about that the one tune of his that I think is just terrible. Yeah, it's just like Cake and Ice Cream. And he's got this chick on there with the worst vocals. And I swear to God, like, it really just makes me go, nah. it's so bad. But you know, like, back then, yeah, they used to be putting, like, you know, like Shantae Moore and shit on tunes. And they got the dry vocals and it's just like...
Yeah, it wasn't
it
the
was putting it chicks on tunes that had like dry vocals to do the reply. Yeah, nah. But I saw they was apparently doing something. They want to do something like that. But yeah, anyway, back to Big Sean.
Yeah, it was... but you know what, though? Back to what you were saying.
Yeah, go on.
I don't necessarily... Like, I can't lie to you. I made it into, I think, probably 4 songs.
Wayne spins him on this, you know. I was so
Wayne
surprised.
Spins Big Sean? On a project?
Don Life, bro. I was so surprised. I was like, what?
Well, not to sound funny, Nipsey spanned him on Reverence. Nipsey's verse was unbelievable.
I cut off after Nipsey's
verse,
you know.
Nipsey's verse was hard. Do you know what it is? I think it was just a welcome change to the fact that Big Sean, I just didn't like some of his flow on this project. I just wasn't a fan of it. But you know who does it? Let me tell you who does it. Let me tell you who does it, right?
Yeah.
Kanye West, right? Yeah. Kanye West does this thing where, especially when he went into, so it was from, I'd say from The Life of Pablo.
Yeah.
He changed his flow, right? Mm. Quite a lot. And he changed his flow into, it almost became a little bit messy. That's what I feel has happened to Big
Sean.
Like
when he's on, what's it called? What is it? 3000?
Thank you.
I love
thank
that
you.
Tune,
thank you.
I love
but
it.
But it's become sloppy.
Yeah,
like it's almost like his
I think Sean
similes, everything has gone out the window.
Again,
now.
I think Sean's trying to do I was listening to Brackets yesterday by J. Cole, yeah, and he's trying to get into the conversational, I'm just talking to you,
yeah,
I'm rapping.
Yeah,
J. Cole does it quite well. I was listening to Brackets, I was thinking, oh yeah, I think this is actually what J. Cole is trying to do. Like, not J. Cole, this is what Big Sean is trying to do. He's trying to talk calmly, because he is really more talking.
He is, yeah. You're right.
But it's just not, you know, again, like I said, when I'm editing things and whatever, sometimes you add a word, there's an extra word there that doesn't really need to be there, and I've got, the point of editing is to take that out.
Yeah,
see, I don't need that A there, or that additional bit there. Sentence is perfect like this. And the same with Big Sean, but it's going, okay, man. But
going back to your point, which is what you said about, because it's very, very true. I think the reason why people expected this album to be
the album. Rollout was great.
The rollout was great.
I was ready.
It looks great, isn't it?
I've been on the fence with Big Sean. It's up and down with him. I've always kind of like, I'm not the biggest. I'm not like, ooh, Big Sean. I've always kind of been like, he's cool, but come on, man.
You're waiting for that project to be
this
like,
this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, it's cool. And then like, you know, Dark Sky, Detroit mixtape, the first one, I was like, oh, okay. Like, he's okay. I see why now, maybe like some of my friends who liked him a little bit earlier were like, yeah, Big Sean.
Dark Sky Paradise is his best project.
And then, of course, Dark Sky Paradise comes out, and you're like, okay. I was like, okay, Sean, obviously, he can rap, he can make tunes, he's got some bangers, like whatever.
Yeah.
But whatever that album was that he put out afterwards.
I decided.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Green Album. He was still in his 2088 bag, though, like, because he came off of that Jhené Aiko project that they did together. You were still kind of in that.
But I decided was a more listenable project than Detroit 2.
Well, that's because of the beats. What I noticed about all the Hit-Boy executive producing, I think he produced a lot on the album.
Hit-Boy executive produced, I decided.
Yeah, Hit-Boy is, no, on Detroit 2.
Hit-Boy executive produced it?
Yeah.
Hit-Boy, see, I didn't even know that because he did well with Nas.
Yeah, what?
That Nas album was one. That Nas album absolutely obliterates whatever he released last year.
I wonder how Kanye feels,
Yeah, Kanye should be ashamed of himself.
I wonder how he must just, because Hit-Boy is kind of like, he remember at one point Hit-Boy was signed to Good Beats, like, you know, like the...
Yeah, the producer.
Yeah, the production part of Good Music for a little bit, and then he was off. But kind of like the Protégé just came through, and that Nas album was great.
That,
like,
Nas album was actually flipping incredible.
Yeah, no, it's proper dope.
This is a side note. Yeah. When I listen to that project, usually when I listen to a project after once, twice, if it's not my favourite project, usually I'll be like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I've gone back to that Nas album about 5 times since, and it sounds great every single time.
Some of them
time.
Songs are on my playlist.
Spicy, yeah, 100%. I put spicy, the whole project in my playlist.
Spicy with A$AP Ferg and...
With Don Toliver. Banger.
I've been saying it. More Dirk.
Yeah. I've got to give Dirk his props, man.
He's wavy, right?
Yeah, he makes that Drake tune.
What? Like, that Drake tune is literally, I just need more Dirk. Like, don't care about the rest of the tune, really. Just want Dirk.
Yeah, I agree.
Then Dirk on Nas's album, sick. Don, like you said, Don Toliver on his album, sick.
Yep.
Everything was good on that album, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that was it. But Hit-Boy executive produced, and he produced a lot of some of the songs, I believe, on Detroit 2. And they are all kind of, it's rap. This is a rap album. I think maybe in some ways we've been listening to a lot of hybrid.
I agree.
Is actually how rap albums are kind of supposed to go.
Which is what you want, but I think it might just be what I think it's how he's decided to execute
I was about to say that he hasn't really necessarily tied the concept of what he was trying to do
with
together,
the production,
because
exactly.
Again, the story part I'm not getting now,
because
I'm like,
when
I'm listening to all those bits, I'm like, why is that, why are those,
yes,
why is that
exactly,
there now,
exactly,
like,
exactly.
Why is that kind of there, so.
And actually, you make a very good point, sorry, about and I think this is a big reason why, almost why J. Cole gets a bit of a blight, is that if you listen to J. Cole, especially the stuff that he puts out in terms of singles, when it comes to story, like rapping, like, he's undefeated because he just knows how to do it so well. He just gets
now.
It. Yeah.
Now.
He not necessarily didn't know how to do it before.
I know, because you think about the first album and the way he would tell stories was it was different.
Yeah.
It was like earlier.
He's perfected it now.
Yeah, like
100%.
You know, talk about J. Cole quickly, but like, you know, off his first album, you remember that tune Breakdown?
Yeah.
And tells different stories of different scenarios and stuff like that. For Your Eyes Only, the tune is effectively to me like kind of like, as you go through all his albums and he's been telling like stories.
Yes,
and
you're right.
The magnum opus of him storytelling.
I agree.
It's phenomenal, man.
I agree. You knew that you almost, like when you listen to Forest or Dries, Forest or Dries is actually a story.
Yeah.
You knew he had perfected it, even when you listened to
Wet Dreams.
Wet Dreams. You were just like, wow. When you listen to Adolescence, the way he actually talks about that story is actually, it's a thing of beauty.
He knows how to switch the perspectives within the tune. So Big Sean, I believe, that's what he's trying to go for. He's trying to get his, like, you know, Kendrick, how much does a dollar cost? He's trying to get into that bag of I guess storytelling in a deep way, but he's not there yet. He's not there yet, and this kind of showed it, because there were glimpses, like when I'm listening to the album, I'm kind of like, oh okay, like this sounds interesting, but you just moved on to something else now. All right, like yeah, so boy, it was okay, it was cool. I don't think anything on it other than Deep Reverence.
Yeah, Deep Reverence. It's the only thing that
left. And really and truly, like, what I've found myself kind of doing more recently when I'm listening to it, because obviously, you know, like, I'm a big Nip fan and stuff. I've just found myself even, like, I was like, at first I was playing the whole tune through, but now I'm really cutting it off after Nip's verse.
Cool, I ain't got time. I'm too busy.
I'm cutting this tune off right after Nip now. Like, this is...
I told you, I lasted four songs and I just said, I can't do this anymore. Yeah, I said, no. Do you know
Wayne
what? I'm going to do it another day.
Wayne has a really good verse on there that I was really surprised, because, like, I don't really expect too much from Wayne these days. Don Life with the Human Nature sample, the preview video that he put out, it looked like it was going to be hard. Like, it was going to be cold. And it was, you know, basically that clip is basically Sean's part, and then Wayne just comes through and just flies. Like, it's just like...
That's sick. That's cold.
Yeah. And then Wale's on there. Again, Sean doesn't have the best album. He doesn't have the best verse on his own album. Like,
that's pretty bad. I can't lie to you.
Wale comes through, he's floating. I think, we haven't recorded. I don't even know if I said this on the last podcast, but like, Wale has a great EP. Imperfect Storm EP is so timely.
When did that come out?
It came out during like quarantine or whatever. But
There's one song on there called Shit Don't Stop. Is it the one where it's got the picture?
It's so good, and it's got like one song on there called Shit Don't Stop, which is just so perfect for the time. And Wale comes through. I'm glad that he even was on that, to be fair, because I think obviously Wale's been forgotten a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sean is certified B-tier. Might have been put him in the C-tier, I don't know. But as far as that whole top three, Drake, Cole, Kendrick, second tier, Meek, Sean, who else? Is that it?
You put Wale. Sean in second tier?
No. That sounds like B tier, C tier, I don't know.
I wouldn't, to be honest with you.
So,
and I think it's more to do with the fact that if Detroit 2 had been the project that it was supposed to have been, I think the conversation generally would have been like, yeah, we can start talking about it. But Detroit 2 was a disappointment to me. I actually like Big Sean, so that's why I know it's a disappointment to me, because I can fuck with his flow if he does it right, and he does it right in Dark Sky Paradise.
He doesn't even have, like, you know, like body language is kind of supposed to
it's almost as if it's a bit of an inconvenience for him to rap. It's as if, why did you bring this mic in front of me to do my job? Like, that's how it sounds. And I'm just like,
I was rooting for him and that album.
I'm not touching it. One thing I did like was, so Justin Bieber was in Drake's...
Pop star.
Now, I'm going to be honest, before the video, the song was all right to me, but I never went back to it. I heard it once.
I only listened to it once. I wasn't really feeling it. You know why, though? I wasn't feeling it because, like, you know, of course, Drake switched up the flow.
Yeah.
And the flow made it, to me, that particular cadence that he's like rapping in. It just made me feel like a joke thing. You're taking the piss. Like, you know, like you gave Khaled like the leftover vocals. This is kind of rapping. Like, I don't know. Like, I just wasn't feeling it. So I just haven't listened to it since. But then obviously Biebs came back. Remind us, he's the waviest white boy on the planet.
Right,
and now actually after watching the video, I was like, I like it a lot more.
I like the song a lot more now.
I like it a lot more. To be fair, videos do that.
But the question I was gonna say is, do you feel like videos have been doing that as of recent? Only feel that it's actually been because of recent. That WAP song that came out, if the WAP song came out without the video, I would have never paid attention to that song.
No, there's some hoes and there's some that instrument was too hard for me to have been able to ignore it.
Made more sense with it. Like, I think,
oh yeah, I mean, of course,
the video was iconic.
Listen, Beyonce's been doing this to us. She knows.
Thank you.
She knows.
Thank you.
She knows.
Thank you.
Dropped the visual with the songs.
It makes sense.
And it just
makes sense.
If you know what you're doing.
Now that is where it hinges on. if you know what you're doing. Because some people don't.
Yeah, so you know, you can drop the drive. You could, because it works the other way as well, right? It could be a bad video with the good song. So, and then now the song doesn't really.
Yeah.
The song's not really like sounding.
Well, I mean, what's an example of a good song that's got a bad video? A recent one.
That's kind of hard. I'm not sure. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Because like I said, the Drake one is a good example of an okay song, which I actually probably like more now because of the video.
Yeah. A good song with a bad video as of recent. I don't know. I have to check my playlist. But I know it's definitely worked the other way for me with some other songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of one. Can you think of one?
I'm trying to think. No, to be fair.
It's hard to think of off the top of your head. I can't think of one.
The closest I could probably think of, and to be honest, I still don't like the song anyway, is Brown Skin Girl. I've not been a fan of that song, I can't lie to you. I think the song just sounds like a cheap...
Oh, the Beyonce tune. I don't like that song, though.
I despise that song. But the video's quite nice.
No, I wouldn't have liked the song anyway.
No, I didn't like the song. I still like Black Is King, though. That's heavy.
I like Black
Is
King.
You know, African aesthetic draped in capitalism. You know that one.
No, man. What are you talking about?
That's your girl, No Name, you know.
No Name.
That's your girl.
Listen, man, No Name's learning in real time. I can't do anything. I can't really say anything.
You think she's bad vibes?
I think she obviously just has an opposing opinion.
I like the way you answered that, you know.
Yeah, I think
because you stayed right in the middle with that one. I love that.
She has an opposing opinion to, like, of course, the majority, which is fair.
She's definitely bad vibes, though.
Again, messenger. There's a conversation to be had about
And know, also like, timing.
Right. So again, there's something to be said about it, you know, because even with like Joe Budden and Spotify and him and Charlamagne kind of having a little back and forth on that. And it's this idea of ownership. You know, of course, Dame Dash was on The Breakfast Club kind of telling them the same thing, but Messenger, people don't like that delivery.
Yeah.
But the message,
the
message is important. So,
yeah, agreed.
You know, No Name, I'm not saying that she has a point or has any points. I don't necessarily even agree with that, but she definitely has an opposing opinion to the majority. And, you know, you said it earlier, don't be a sheep. Think for yourself.
Simple
so
as.
I can't really...
Let's do some music. Should we do Wheel Up?
Yep. Here's your Wheel Up.
Ready. All right. So, you might want to turn the thing on, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, my Wheel Up here is... I want to describe the song to you because I've had this song on repeat for 24 hours, and I'm not exaggerating.
The Jasmine Sullivan tune?
No. Oh, that would have been. But by the way, that Jasmine Sullivan... I had this debate. This is the side note. That Jasmine Sullivan song is fucking incredible. The video, the acoustic video, is even more incredible. I love Jasmine Sullivan.
Oh, there's a video.
She does an acoustic video.
What is it, like a Vivo thing that she does?
It's on her YouTube. Oh. She does an acoustic version.
I would almost go as far as to say it's better than the original. Is it?
It's unbelievable.
Actually, I believe that, to be fair.
Because she comes out and sings.
She's a singer, isn't it?
She sings. When I tell you, she sings in that song. She sings.
Yeah,
she's playing no games.
Yeah, she's a singer, though.
But anyway, it's not the Jasmine Sullivan one. Only because the song that I'm referring to, I heard yesterday.
Okay.
And I haven't stopped listening to it since. So anyway, it's called Better Than I Imagined, Robert Glasper and her. And I feel like Robert Glasper goes into his black radio bag with this because this song is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that tune is hard. As you said, I was thinking. And I was like, no, that's...
Why is the team not connecting, bro? Hey, bro, you've got a dodgy speaker, bro. Do you see what I'm saying?
Were you even connected?
I was going to say it was switched up anyway.
I love those tunes, yeah, when someone just starts doing their spoken word at the end, like, like, yeah, so I was walking one day. It's like, that's exactly what happens on this song.
But,
like,
do you know what? It works.
I hope you were staying safe inside. I called, but you didn't pick up. Like, literally on this Robert Glasper tune. Like, when that came on...
The tune is hot. Let's go.
Spoken word tunes. When they do that spoken word part, it's so funny.
The song is just phenomenal.
It was raining one day.
Ah.
I need the bass.
Even like the whole sound effects. That
it's perfect for it. It sounds like it's raining outside. You live in New York, apartment. Raining outside.
Yes. You're looking through your window.
You got one candle. You know, this is what I'm saying. Your neighbors are in the corner. They're arguing and shit. Like, this is what this song kind of makes me feel like. It's weird because I've never even been to New York.
Yeah. But it makes you feel like you have.
I don't know. And her just sounds great as she does.
She does this thing where she sings her verse in a lower octave underneath it. It's like, it's a thing of beauty, man. Honestly, they got this song so right.
See, this is where I'm like, I get why her gets the nominations.
It makes sense.
Like, I understand it. But at the same time, it's just like, she's putting out mixtapes or EPs. But when I listen, like, you know, like, I'm listening to her, like, tunes, I'm just like, come around, all these types of songs. I know.
Even the tunes that she's released after, they're just, I think everyone's just waiting. They're waiting for that album. They're waiting for the album to just say, all right, cool. You need it. But she's got it in her. I'm telling you, she's probably got the song sitting there. It's just about timing. And she's smart.
Because
look at the wave that she's riding, and she's not released the full album yet.
I know.
You're bluffing.
But that's all it is, though. That's the only...
That's Michael Jackson vibes.
Oh, man. It really is. But nah, her is...
song is just... Anyway, Cheryl, what's yours?
Mine is Neo and Leanne LeHavis.
Big tune.
Because...
Big tune. Wow. Leanne LeHavis album... Best album
that's come out this year. I really still need to listen to that because I've just been slacking. But the tune, when I heard it, I was like, wow. Oh, come on. Same issue.
I'm going to connect to that now.
But Woman by those two. I don't know, obviously, what it's for, whatever. I'm just thankful that they did it and they put it out.
Well, Nail's coming with a new project.
Pardon?
Nail's coming out with a new album.
Is it?
Yeah. She's coming out with a new album. So that's the single of the project. But, I can play it, you know?
Play it for me then. But yeah, that song, it just reminds me of, like, you know, not to harp on the past, old R&B.
Yep.
But just the texture of this song is just...
Yep.
Come on. Like, the texture of this song just makes me feel like, like, this is just, it's just feel good R&B music. Yeah, exactly. It just feels good.
It sounds good.
Like I said, the actual texture, when I'm talking about their vocals, the type of instrumental, everything together. What?
Yes.
You don't hear nothing like this, like.
Honestly.
When people are having conversations about R&B, obviously we're here, there's R&B here. This music is here.
Yeah,
like,
correct.
We're playing it right now.
And that's what I said, so what you just played,
it's like, it's here.
The Leanne LeHavis album is literally like, what you're saying about the feel good, the layers, the texture,
that
is what that project is.
Yeah.
It fills the room when you're listening to it.
Yeah.
And it's such a well put together project.
You know, you do your cleaning, you get things done. This is like the type of music that someone grows up on. Like,
yes, you know what I mean?
Like, this is what it is. So like, I really enjoy this tune. I've been playing it a lot.
I wonder who produced it. Was it Snake Ships?
I don't know, but if they did, they're hard. Like, Snake Ships might be super underrated as producers potentially. No, they're bad boy producers, man.
It was Lox.
Yeah,
this tune is just, it's so well put together.
Listen, come on. Yeah, that is too much. It's too much. I proper enjoy this tune.
I want to talk about another single, actually, which really has frustrated me.
What song?
Bryson Tiller's new one.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually made me very angry. And I'm going to tell you why. So I'm going to play the original to you. What's the original? The guy basically just copy and pasted.
So it's a sample? No.
This is the original. This is the beat they used. The beat is by a guy called Deepak.
Oh, so he's just taken the whole...
He's taken the beat and he's just stuck. It's like he's done a freestyle.
Oh. But it's on stream though, it's not on SoundCloud.
Yeah, no, because Deepak gave him the beat.
Oh.
But this was the original. This has been on here. What? This project is, I think it's from last year, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
You don't need to sing on it.
This already sounds great.
You don't need to sing. You don't need to touch it. Leave it alone. Why are you singing on it? There's no reason. It's actually criminal. So he comes on, does his verse, and you just think, but why?
Yeah, but Bryson is of the SoundCloud era of you getting the tune, like the instrumental.
That is,
come on, like, what's Exchange, obviously, is the KP and Envy.
He is
from that, not saying, obviously, I mean, as someone's listening, and be like, oh, but that's a sample. Yeah, we know it's a sample, but he's an artist, a singer from SoundCloud, who, of course, made that tune.
Yeah.
And SoundCloud, as we know, you get another song, you rap on it, you sing on it, you might refix the tune a little bit, whatever. So that does kind of make sense to me.
I don't know. I just kind of felt like, Bryson, like, you've been away for so long.
It should have been like... But the thing is Bryson has been putting little song like songs out on sound, not on streaming services. He's been putting them out on SoundCloud, though. Like,
yeah, he's been
every now and again,
he'll be
dropping a tune. And I think he's just dropping them to see if people are still like
feeling.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. Like, I was listening to Jasmine Sullivan Insecure and Bryson Tiller the other day, and I was thinking, wow, man, Bryson had a, like, he was like a flash in the pan, really.
Literally.
Like, that was, you know.
That was probably his last, well. He did release, there was a song that he released, actually. I think it was called, Cancelled, which was the last kind of decent song that he put out. But Insecure was the last, I would say, was the last proper good song he put out.
Yeah, I mean...
And it wasn't even his, it was Jasmine's.
Right, so, I mean, again, our Wild Thoughts.
Yeah, but Rihanna...
It was all around the same... To be honest, it was all around the same time, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know with... I heard the song and I was just kind of like, all right.
I just didn't get it. But you know what? My problem is because I've been listening to that this Deepak song for about 7 months and I've had it. And it's not one of the songs where you think, oh, someone could sing on this. It's just one of the songs where you're like, this is beautifully. It's because Deepak does a lot of the production for Brent. He's a bad boy producer. Like that project that Deepak's got is so good. He's got Jasmine on it. He's got some old schools and everything.
Cool.
It's buff.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
It's just not one of those songs you thought, oh, I can imagine like rapping on it, or I can hear Bryson. It's just random.
Bryson,
it just felt mad random.
Bryson needs to. I don't know what Bryson needs to do, because I think people are still holding out for him. So,
but they're still on the trap song.
He can pull it back, I think, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one, I can't lie.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a sticky one.
You know, sometimes with artists, that I guess that we see that happen, right? They kind of come, they have that moment,
and
you know, I'm not sure if he was where he was as an artist and stuff like that, so I don't know. I don't know with Bryson Tiller, man. I don't know. But tell me why you're going Afro Nation. Why are you going Afro Nation? I mean, not that you shouldn't go, but is it because your tickets got transferred over?
But no, it's actually, I can't actually lie to you.
But weren't your tickets supposed to get transferred over?
Yeah, no, that's a long story. I lost my money for that still. Anyway, to be fair, it was me. I should have just, I had one more payment left because I did a payment left for it.
Fine.
But I was just so pissed off about everything that happened and stuff was going on. I didn't pay off.
But
it was my fault.
You're going again.
I'm going again. I got my ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was too good of an experience.
The lineup looks.
Light looks wavy, I can't lie to you. Popcorn, Burna Boy, Chris Brown.
It looks good.
I'm going, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to get drunk.
All is forgiven.
He didn't do anything to me personally, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But also, Afro Nation last year was such a wavy experience.
Yeah.
I generally do think we could probably have it again. It will be good again.
I mean, I don't really doubt that it's not going to be good. Like, just from the acts alone and everything like that. And generally, like, I've always enjoyed all festivals abroad.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Just 100% more than any in the UK. All festivals I've been to abroad in Europe.
Like, think of, like, even Afropunk Festival. Afropunk Festival is wavy.
All festivals that, like, they're just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're just 100%. They've just been, like, the vibe. That's it.
Yeah, agreed.
So, I don't doubt that Afro Nation would be good.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You're going.
I'm going to live my best life.
Give the man the money. Hopefully COVID ain't trying to do nothing next year and everyone gets to go and have fun.
And that's the thing, because we've had such a, like, we've had no concerts this year. We've had no festival.
Weird, man.
If we've had no music, no wireless,
this
nothing.
This whole period,
we've got to make up for
it, bro. I was kind of like, I would have been like away or I would have been at like a festival,
and nothing
was like that. Wasn't the case. Obviously, even Carnival got cancelled and stuff. It was just all very strange. Yeah, I was like, wow, this is, at least for me, like I go away and stuff like that, and I go to shows, I go to festivals, and none of that's happened.
It's been a bit.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, as long as everything goes well.
Fingers crossed, it should be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'd be nice to get out.
Have you seen Chris Brown?
I've never seen him live. Not once.
Great.
Really?
I know. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but he is great.
I mean,
I went to Ireland to see him. I went to Dublin some years back.
When he was last here,
I went to, me and my friend, we went to Dublin. That's where he was performing. And
yeah, I know. Everyone's just like, oh, why are you guys going? Because of what he's done historically. And obviously, no one supports that. He's a prick for that.
I think everyone agrees, right?
I think most people do.
Everyone agrees that he's a prick, I think.
For the majority of us, we know that he's a prick, yes. I don't think anyone's going to support that. I don't know. Well, God, I would hope not. That's not why they're going.
But at this point.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chef, we're going to wrap this up. It's been a great episode, Jenny.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been good to be back, man.
Oh, it feels good to be back.
Yeah.
I love this. TBH Podcast, you know the deal.
Subscribe, rate, all of that.
All them ting there. Subscribe, and we will see you on another episode. Peace.